put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and the good doctrine that you follow. Have nothing to do with the rebel, silly things. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For a whole lot of training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and the life to come. The saying, this saying is trustworthy, deserving full acceptance. For to this end, we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe, command, and teach these things. God, thank you so much for today. I thank you so much for the freedom to own your word, to open your word, to read, to study, to look at your word, and for the freedom to gather together in a building, in a city, God, we desire to bring glory. We don't want to squander it, God. We want to soak it up and wrap it in. We want to be a giver to the world mission, and we want to participate in our daily lives as believers. And so, God, I'm excited to start our week off today, looking at your word and listening to the study of your word, engaging. That's why I pray these things for us this morning, that we would be doers, not just hearers. God, we love you, praise you, Jesus, the precious, holy, awesome name. Amen. If you want to take a couple seconds and say hi to the folks around you, do that. Awesome.
Expose me.
False teachers that he's talking about, they lie because they don't see what is in the scripture. That's what Paul is calling to the other. Remember from Acts chapter 18, the glory of the church in Ephesus was that shepherding the flock. Every time I think about that, I think about a pastor I had many years ago, very talented preacher, but always discerning the reason why he would say things like this. And he would say, you know, I'm not really concerned about the people that are in the church. I'm more concerned with the people that aren't in that should be in the church. And that is just all in the thing. The pastor's primary role is to guide the flock. There are churches that are in the church. Now, as the people of the congregation are to go out to bring the gospel out to those that are out there and bring them into the church, but the pastor's role is primarily to see the way to the in the Acts class today, we read about false teachers that came in chapter 15. As we said before, if you have not been studying other ways, you can do it to your own. It shows that the revival self-confirms. False teachers in Acts chapter 15 were those that claimed that the believers, these new Gentile believers, need to be circumcised. An issue that's also dealt with in Galatian heresies. You know, that something needed to be added to Jesus for salvation. We saw that in last week when we talked in chapter 4 about the non-marriage and the priest of the reading, that something else needed to be added for salvation to take hold. Now that is a lie. Jesus' death on the cross, he was substitutionary temple, was a submission for all who their salvation. Nothing else needed to be added. Nothing else needed to be done to secure that other than to believe in Jesus. Believe that he's going to secure. To believe that he's going to secure. But this is constantly working against the church, and you will see it even from other Christians. You will see it. You need to do more works. You need to volunteer here. You need to do this study. It works its way in. Now, this is not to say that volunteering and reading your witnesses are bad, but it comes to the matter of the heart. Why are you witnessing? I'm not doing these things to gain salvation. I'm certainly not standing up here preaching the word to gain salvation. I already know that I am saved. It is because I am saved that I want to proclaim the word of salvation that is revealed through Jesus Christ that I have. Not to gain anything. I can't gain anything more than what I already have being found in Jesus. Last week we read in Colossians where we are found in Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, it says that we are found in Him. I can't get any more in Him yet. It doesn't come through my actions to be in Him. It's fully in Him. Jesus' work on the cross fully and completely saved from God's wrath against the sin. I read the description, and just know that sometimes we don't understand the difference between the holiness of Jesus and where we stand. And R.C. Sproul one time did this demonstration on a stage where he put two people on the stage. He said, well, one person represents Jesus, and the other person represents Hitler. And he brought a third person up, and he says, where did this person represent Paul? Paul, where does he stand at? Those people put him in the middle of the list of Jesus. He said, no, in reality, he stands right next to him. You see, because Jesus is so holy that we cannot comprehend how holy and perfect that he is, and that we are all bound in abject sin and separation from God. The gospel says that we can be joined to God through Jesus by his work on the cross. Anybody that comes in and says that you must use foods or do certain things plus Jesus is a liar. And the more that they propagate these myths, the more that their hearts and their consciences are seared, and the further away that they get to the place in the first part of the chapter. It lies. It lies. Other teachings that we follow, in addition to this, this and with your friends. So, I slightly different reality as we read something. In putting out these things to the brethren here, so we have the things that are pointed out in chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, 1 through 5, about the false teachings, about the branding and the sin, about these things, and pointing out these things to the brethren, being other believers, you will be a good servant. The next section there says, uses the Greek term intro, which means nourished in the word, constantly feeding on the word. It says, constantly nourished in the words of the faith. Constantly nourished in the word of faith. Not just reading it once, or listening to it once, and then walking off to something else, but constantly. But one thing you need to do is, there are some people that are in the congregation. Constantly reminded of things. We don't necessarily get it the first time. We need to constantly hear it and constantly be reminded. I would say we constantly need to be reminded that Jesus' work on the cross is enough. Right? There's other things we'll get. But we need to constantly go back to these things and constantly be reminded of the Word and what the truth is. If we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. Even though you already know them. I'm going to constantly remind you of these. I'm always ready to remind you of these things. Even though you know them, I'm going to remind you of them. They need to be very deep in our hearts. Deep in our hearts so we never forget them. Even though you already know that we have been established in the truth, which is present with you. We would see Paul in his speech to the Galatian heresy. He said, what has bewitched you, dear Galatians? What has taken you away from the gospel which you know and you heard? You must constantly be feeding upon the gospel and knowing it. Jesus' work on the cross that would spoil us. It's why we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema. Right? We've talked about that before here, where the Israelites are told to remind their children of the law, of God's good and glorious law, to write it on their doorposts so you see it every day when you walk out of the house. So you're constantly reminded of what God has told. They're told to tie it on their frontlets, on their heads. They're told to write it on things so that they know it and know it and know it. To remind themselves constantly of what I'm saying. If we were to read, and I recommend it to everybody, 176 verses in Psalm chapter 19, the longest psalm there is, it is all about the glorious nature of God's Word. God's Word should not be said, God's law should not be seen as a page or a ballad or something that is greatly important. Constantly to know those things. I recommend that people all the time say, if you really forget and understand, there's one way to be about these certain things. Read Romans. Read all of Romans. That tells you that is a theological that lays out the theology of Christ's Father being a Christian perfect. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it lays it out perfectly. If you're not sure, you know the Romans and you can see. Verse 6, verse 4, it says, constantly nourishing the words of the faith, sound doctrine, what fit you have become, reminding them of what it says. You can have been following this, but constantly on these things, you need to remind the brethren, the fellow believers in your church in Ephesus, you need to remind them of these things constantly. And it will be a joyous thing to do. We had Sarah's story speak about her experience in the devil himself isn't going to show up in illusion of truth, but the truth won't be in it. It'll look good, but it won't be. Chapter 8 of John, chapter 8, verse 24. Whatever you don't work in God, you say you just remember this. It says, whenever he speaks a lie, listen to this, he speaks from his own nature. This is his natural language. It's the devil. His natural language is lies. It's very good. When you need the lies, they tell you that you need something more than Jesus. You need to have Jesus and all these other things. I need to do these works to attain something. These are all the lies of the world, the lies of the devil. Right? This is his natural love. Remind your people, Timothy, remind your congregation about these things. Remind them what the scripture says. Remind them what the good news, you ain't done enough is, that Jesus did it all for me. I don't have to do it. It says, whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He is a liar and the father of lies. We're following this here, 1 Timothy. We're putting credence into them, 1 Timothy. We're telling them that you must conserve foods and avoid marriage. These are all lies because they're not true. How do we know what is true if it conforms to what Scripture tells us? The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us, the Holy Spirit guides us. And sometimes I've heard a friend tell me, you know, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you or it's a sandwich that you have? Well, there's no mystery to it. If what you're hearing conforms to Scripture, it's of God. If it doesn't, it's not. The Holy Spirit will always do one of two things. It will always testify to Jesus. He, the Holy Spirit, will always testify to Jesus and will never be in opposition to what Scripture says. That's how we know. That's how we find it. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 15 tells us this.
Yeah.
That's what we all work for, because you see, Jesus came to the world not to condemn it, because we all stood condemned in our sins, but he came to save the world, to save those who believe in him, to provide a way to rejoin us in God, a way for payment of our sins in eternal life. How are we looking at others and the things that are in the world? Are we looking with anger at those things? Are we saying,
doesn't gain us holiness by avoiding foods, but to say that
going to, when I get hungry, when I get angry, I'm going to pray to God during those times, right? I'm exercising control of my body when I don't do those things that the flesh wants me to do, right? Those are good things and good things to do, but they themselves do not provide holiness or salvation. Trusting in God does those things. Reading the Scripture does those things for us. Paul is very keen on this. He said, they're good for a little profit. But just remember, you have an eternity that sits out before you. An eternity either found in Jesus or found in hell. Choice is yours. You should focus your things on those things of God rather than those things of the world. Because if you focus on this relationship first, the rest of the things come together better, including your own stewardship over your own body. Love and discipline is only of no profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise of the present life and also for the world to come. You remember from all the way up to the wall, the future is in the chapter 9, and it says, I have given my body daily so that I will not lose the prize that I have. See, he's not going to let that coal that's in the room of his house burn out of control. I am going to submit my body, right? I'm going to submit my body to God. I'm not going to submit myself to my body in those desires, right? I know what is God in this world looks like. God, I don't just pray for your self-control. The world now tells us that do anything you want as long as you want, it makes you happy. That certainly is not a biblical principle. That is an abject, evil world principle. I beat my body so that I myself will not lose the prize, so that I will not lose the gospel of salvation I preach to others. Now it's important to note that he's not talking about losing your salvation in itself. What he's saying is, losing what you have gained through living a holy and sanctified life. And yes, that will press against the people around you in a negative fashion. You say, I can't, I don't want to do certain things or whatnot, it's not good for me, I don't want to go to certain places and use it for me. All of the wise and clever. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile to God, you were given to the obedience prior to your actions. Yet he has now reconciled in you his fleshly body through death. In other words, that is that penal substitutionary atonement or propitiatory atonement. He has reconciled this through his death in order to present what you before God, holy and blameless beyond reproach. This is what Jesus does. When we talk about the remembrance or the reminding that Paul encouraged Timothy to do, it's so important to remind them this was done. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made minister. So important to be reminded of that work that Christ has done. Goes without saying, says in verse 9, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. This is the truth, the evangelical gospel, the good news. This is the truth, which is found hidden in him. Standing before the judgment throne of God, either on your own or clothed in the blood of Jesus, saying that he is one of mine. These are the choices that we have. Found in Jesus or not. Found in my good works. Trouble with a good wall. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. You just got to do this. But it says that 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, speaking to Timothy again, remember it's a word of encouragement to Timothy, continued right. It says, it is a trustworthy statement, for we die with him. We also live with him. When Christ died on the cross, as believers, we died on the cross too. Our sin went with him. Our sin was satisfied before God with him there. If we endure in verse 12, we will also reign with him. Remember Ephesians, I said, we are a seen as seated with him in the heavenly places, next to Christ, as believers. If we deny him, he also will deny us. To follow a different gospel, one that adds to Jesus, is denying the work that Christ has done on the cross. If you say you must, I have Jesus and I must do these other things, it is a lie. That is, you are in danger of branding your own conscience, being seared in your own conscience, and being found lost again. It's Jesus alone, the work on the cross. In 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's the Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Since you have an obedience to the truth, let purify your souls with sincere love and brethren, fervent love of God and from our heart. For you have been born again, not a seed which is imperishable, but that which is imperishable. That is, the living and the living word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls. This is the word which is God's word. We must bless ourselves. It's a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance, for it is from this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, not these false myths and false gods and false writings of Ephesus, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. God's work, Jesus' work in the cross, is sufficient for all men, but meant for only those who will believe. It is not a universal salvation. You are either found in Jesus at the end, not. Prescribe and teach these things, verse 11 tells us. Prescribe and teach these things, Timothy. Make sure your flock knows it, Timothy. Make sure they don't forget it, Timothy. That's the answer. Make sure, as I say, you are held to a higher standard if you preach these things truthfully and rightly. Make sure they know these things. You see, focus on that eternity, because bodily things of now, this is good for now, bodily training for now, for a little, but we focus on the things that are for eternity. We focus on those things that will go on for eternity, found in Jesus or not. It's kind of funny, or actually kind of sad, for somebody. See, there is no end of eternity with Jesus without knowing Jesus. Without being in the city. So one way or another, we have to be Please help us to be better stewards of our lives and glorify you.